Stay tuned now. This is WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. We now bring you what we have every Thursday at 6 p.m., and that is Lehigh Valley Discourse. Tonight, a special edition. It's tributes to notables who have died during this year. The time is 6 o'clock.
Thanks for the memory of Schubert's Serenade, little things of jade, and traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was.
Oh, yes. Thanks for the memories. As we go through the description of folks who have died during the year, I hope that it will bring to mind some of your own people who have been close to you and have passed on during 2018. We begin with one of our own here at WDIY, George Liberth Sr. It is with great sadness that we note the passing of one of our own. He volunteered at WDIY for many years as on-air host, most notably for Weekend Edition Saturday and Car Talk. His unique on-air sound and good humor was loved by many, including his weekly sign-off, "I'll Be Back." The sign-off included a woman's name rotated alphabetically over time. "Okay so far," was his habitual response to "How are you?" George served the country during World War II, preparing aircraft on the West Coast for combat missions in the Pacific Theater. He also walked the rails locally to make sure they were safe for trains. We all have fond memories of his time with WDIY and are pleased that his son, George Jr., still volunteers here. George Liberth died this month. He was 96.
John, it's a pleasure to join you. This is Francisco here on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and I'm pleased to talk about the life of John Compardo, who coached the Allentown Central Catholic High School basketball team to a state championship and East Penn League championship, an eight-year record of 146-65. Then along came a new college in Center Valley, Allentown College of St. Francis de Sales. Compardo was hired then as the college's first director of athletics and physical education teacher. He was also the new college's trainer, equipment manager, sports information director, intramural director, and recruiter. In other words, he did it all. The incomparable Coach John Compardo died in February at the age of 97.
Barbara Pearson, a dancer, choreographer, and educator, was a mainstay of the Lehigh Valley arts community for more than 40 years. Pearson had extensive training in classical ballet, modern, and theater dance, was an authority on Renaissance, Baroque, and other early dance forms. Pearson was a featured performer at Bethlehem's Music Fest in its earliest years, created a long-running Renaissance pageant at Lehigh University's Packer Memorial Church, and served as an arts and education consultant in schools around the country. She moved to the Lehigh Valley in the early 1970s when her first husband, John Pearson, became head of the drama department at Lehigh University. Barbara Pearson passed away in July after suffering from cancer. Her beloved Touchstone Theater in South Bethlehem is dedicating its current season to her memory. Another local person, Charlie Schrinn, was a county business icon who grew up in Allentown. His father formed the Charles Schrinn Companies in 1955, and the business grew to include farming, excavating, land development, real estate, and even alternative energy. In 2002, Schrinn began putting together plans for a commerce center near Route 33, and it was the first time he offered to help build the Route 33 interchange with a contribution of $10 million. Ground was broken on what became a $40 million project. No one has benefited more than Charles Schrinn Companies, but no one else took the risk to pursue the interchange, which has spurred much business activity. Schrinn, then 91, helped dedicate the new interchange in June 2015 by riding across the bridge in a Porsche. Local icon Charles Schrinn died at home in Palmer Township in July. He was 94.
And from a local figure to a religious one, Thomas Spencer Monson was an American religious leader, author, and the 16th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormon Church. As president, he was considered by adherents of the religion to be a prophet, seer, and revelator. He spent most of his life engaged in various church activity, leadership positions, and in public service. Charles Monson died at the age of 90. Brendan Byrne was an American politician, statesman, and prosecutor, serving as the 47th governor of New Jersey from 1974 to 1982. A member of the Democratic Party, Byrne worked in the New Jersey state government starting in 1955. During his time as governor, Byrne oversaw the opening of the first gambling casinos in Atlantic City and expanded the Oceanside municipality's economic base. He also saved a large majority of woodlands and wildlife areas in the state from development. Former New Jersey Governor Brendan Byrne, born in West Orange, died in January in Livingston, New Jersey. He was 93.
Anna Mae Hayes was an American military officer who served as the 13th Chief of the U.S. Army Nurse Corps. She was the first woman in the U.S. Armed Forces to be promoted to a general officer rank. In 1970, she was promoted to the rank of Brigadier General. During Hayes' childhood, the family moved several times in the western New York and eastern Pennsylvania areas and settled in Allentown in 1932. She graduated from Allentown High School with honors in 1938. Following her high school studies, Hayes enrolled in 1939 at the Allentown General Hospital School of Nursing, from which she graduated in 1941 with a diploma in nursing. Brigadier General Anna Mae Hayes, born in Buffalo, New York, died in January in Washington, D.C. She was 97. She had chosen to be buried in the Lehigh Valley, though she qualified to military burial in Arlington Cemetery.
And celebrating the military, we also have Addison Morton Walker, publishing as Mort Walker, an American comic strip writer best known for creating the newspaper comic strips Beetle Bailey in 1950 and High and Lois in 1954. Walker was born in El Dorado, Kansas, is the third of four children in the family. After a couple of years, his family moved to Amarillo, Texas, and later to Kansas City, Missouri. With deep roots in the United States, one of his ancestors was a physician aboard the Mayflower. In 1974, Walker opened the Museum of Cartoon Art, the first museum devoted to the art of comics. It was initially located in Greenwich, Connecticut, and Rybrook, New York, before moving to Boca Raton, Florida, in 1992. During his life, he drew special drawings for individuals, in particular for those who were ill. Cartoonist Mort Walker died in January in Stamford, Connecticut. He was 94.
Keith Jackson was an American sports commentator, journalist, author, and radio personality, known for his career with ABC Sports, 1966 to 2006. While he covered a variety of sports over his 54-year career, he is best known for his coverage of college football and his distinctive voice with its deep cadence and operatic tone, considered like Edward R. Murrow reporting on World War II, the voice of ultimate authority in college football. I remember, Enrique, when one day on television, Keith Jackson was to announce a football game at Northwestern University, your alma mater.
That's right.
He said, folks, I have not been here for 26 years. And the reason, of course, was that Northwestern had such poor football teams
for all that time. And incidentally, that was a game against Pennsylvania State University that evening.
So Keith Jackson, the son of a dirt farmer, born in Rupeville, Georgia. He was the only surviving child in a poor family and grew up listening to sports on the radio. Though best known for his college football broadcasts, Jackson announced numerous other sports for ABC throughout his career, including Major League Baseball, NBA basketball, boxing, auto racing, PGA Tour golf, the USFL, and the Olympic Games. During his on-air tenure, he is credited with nicknaming the Rose Bowl as the granddaddy of them all, and Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor as the Big House. Keith Jackson died in January in Los Angeles. He was 89.
This year, we also lost Sir Roger Bannister, a British middle-distance athlete who ran the first sub-4-minute mile and later a physician and academic. He became the first 4-minute miler in history, achieving this feat in May 1954 at Iffley Road Track in Oxford. When the announcer declared the time was 3, the cheers of the crowd drowned out Bannister's exact time, which was 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. Bannister's record lasted just 46 days. He'd reached his record with minimal training while practicing as a junior physician. Bannister went on to become a distinguished neurologist and master at Pembroke College, Oxford, before retiring in 1993. He died in March, 3 weeks shy of his 89th birthday. The world also lost another towering academic, Stephen Hawking, an English theoretical physicist, cosmologist, and author who was a director of research at the Center for Theoretical Cosmology at the University of Cambridge at the time of his death in March. He was a professor of mathematics of the University of Cambridge for 30 years, the exact same seat held by Sir Isaac Newton. Hawking achieved commercial success with several works of popular science, in which he discusses his own theories of cosmology in general. In 2002, Hawking was ranked number 25 in the BBC's poll of 100 Greatest Britons. Hawking had a rare early-onset, slow-progressing form of motor neuron disease, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, that gradually paralyzed him over the decades. Stephen Hawking, born in Oxford, died in Cambridge in March. He was 76. John, I know this was one of your favorites, actor John Mahoney.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, said in a final interview a few months before his death that he thought that he was able to beat cancer twice because of how much he was loved as an actor. He said, "I wasn't going to let this cancer get me," in a final interview about his life, and yet he did succumb to the disease. Mahoney, who starred as the cranky patriarch Martin Crane on the popular TV sitcom Frasier, died in February in Chicago after a brief spell in hospital at the age of 77.
Linda Brown. You've heard of the course Kate Brown versus Board of Education. Linda was the child associated with the lead name in the landmark case Brown versus Board of Education, which led to the outlawing of U.S. school segregation in 1954. Linda Brown was born on February 20, 1942, in Topeka, Kansas. Because she was forced to travel a significant distance to elementary school because of racial segregation, her father was one of the plaintiffs in the case of Brown versus Board of Education, resulting in the Supreme Court's ruling in 1954 that school segregation was unlawful. Brown continued living in Topeka as an adult, raising a family and continuing her desegregation efforts with the area's school system. Linda Brown passed away in March at age 76.
Winnie Mandela was a South African anti-apartheid activist and politician, and the ex-wife of Nelson Mandela. She served as a member of parliament from 1994 to 2003 and from 2009 until her death in April. A member of the African National Congress, the ANC political party, she served on the ANC's National Executive Committee and headed its Women's League. Winnie Mandela was known to her supporters as the mother of the nation. She died in April in Johannesburg, at the age of 81. The Those are the sounds written by John Perry Barlow, a former Cal Poke Republican politician and lyricist for the Grateful Dead. Had an affinity for wide open spaces and free expression, transforming him into a leading defender of the unfettered internet. Barlow helped form the Electronic Frontier Foundation in San Francisco in 1990. He said there are a lot of similarities between cyberspace and open space. His plea for an open internet was inspired in part by the Grateful Dead's uncommon practice of welcoming audiences to record the band's concerts. John Perry Barlow died in February at his home in San Francisco. He had been ailing after a heart attack in 2015. He was 70 years old.
Barbara Bush was First Lady of the United States from 1989 to 1993 as the wife of George H.W. Bush, who served as the 41st President of the United States. She previously was Second Lady of the United States from 1981 to 89. Among her six children are George W. Bush, the 43rd U.S. President, and Jeb Bush, the 43rd Governor of Florida. Barbara Pierce was born in Flushing, New York. She met George Herbert Walker Bush at age 16, and the two married in Rye, New York, in 1945 while he was on leave during his deployment as a naval officer in World War II. They moved to Texas in 1950, where George later began his political career. As First Lady of the United States, Bush worked to advance the cause of universal literacy, founding the Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy. Barbara Bush died in Houston in April. She was 93. She is buried at the George Bush Presidential Library in Texas, next to her husband, who died 7 months later.
And next, we honor George Herbert Walker Bush, an American politician who served, of course, as the 41st President of the United States from 1989 to 1993. Prior to assuming the presidency, Bush served as the 43rd Vice President of the United States under President Ronald Reagan. As a member of the Republican Party, he had previously been a congressman, ambassador, and director of the CIA. During his career in public service, he was known simply as George Bush. But after his son, George W. Bush, became 43rd President in 2001, he was referred to as George H.W. Bush, Bush 41, or George Bush Sr. Bush postponed his university studies after the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, enlisted in the Navy on his 18th birthday, and became one of its youngest aviators. He served until September 1945 and then attended Yale University, graduating in 1948. He moved his family to West Texas, where he entered the oil business and became a millionaire by the age of 40 in 1964. Our 41st President, George H.W. Bush, was born in Milton, Massachusetts, but he died in Houston, Texas. Some 3 weeks ago, the nation saw on television pomp and circumstance fitting a former president as Mr. Bush's casket moved from Houston to Washington, D.C., back to Texas for the burial. Vern Troyer was an American actor, comedian, and stunt performer, best known for playing Mini-Me in the Austin Powers film series. He was notable for having been only 2 feet, 8 inches tall, the result of a cartilage hair hypoplasia. This made him one of the shortest men in the world. He was born in Sturgis, Michigan, and he graduated from Centerville High School, where a plaque was put up in 2003 to honor him. Actor Vern Troyer died in Los Angeles in April of alcohol poisoning. He was 49.
Believing you would leave after all we've been through.
Oh, yes. One of the greatest crooners, Vic Damone, was an American traditional pop and big band singer, actor, radio and television presenter and entertainer. Best known for his performances of songs such as the number one hit, You're Breaking My Heart, and On the Street Where You Live from My Fair Lady, and My Heart Cries for You. Damone was born Vito Rocco Farinola in Brooklyn, New York, to Italian immigrants from Bari, Italy. His father was an electrician and his mother taught piano. Damone had to drop out of high school and worked as an usher and elevator operator in the Paramount Theater in Manhattan. He met Perry Como while at the Paramount Theater. Damone stopped the elevator between floors, sang for Como, and asked his advice if he should continue voice lessons. Impressed, Como said, "Keep singing," and referred him to a local band leader. Vito Farinola decided to call himself Vic Damone using his mother's maiden name. He died in Miami Beach in February. He was 89.
L'aurora di bianco vestita già l'uscio di schiude gran sole.
And next we celebrate the life of Tom Wolfe, widely known for his association with New Journalism, a style of news writing and journalism developed in the 1960s and 70s that incorporated various literary techniques. Wolfe began his career as a regional reporter for newspapers in the 1950s, achieving national prominence in the 1960s following the publication of such best-selling books as The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test and two collections of articles and essays. In 1979, he published the influential book The Right Stuff about the Mercury 7 astronauts, which was made into a celebrated 1983 film of the same name, directed by Philip Kaufman. His first novel, The Bonfire of the Vanities, published in 1987, was met with critical acclaim and also became a commercial success. Author Tom Wolfe, born in Richmond, Virginia, died in Manhattan in May. He was 88.
I see the stars.
William Franklin Graham Jr., better known as Billy Graham, was an American evangelist, a prominent evangelical Christian figure, and an ordained Southern Baptist pastor. He became well known internationally in the late 1940s. One of his biographers has placed him among the most influential Christian leaders of the 20th century. As a preacher, he held large indoor and outdoor rallies with sermons broadcast on radio and television. In his six decades of television, Graham hosted annual Billy Graham Crusades, which ran from 1947 until his retirement in 2005. Billy Graham preached to live audiences of 210 million people in more than 185 countries and territories. Graham was a spiritual advisor to U.S. presidents and provided spiritual counsel for every president from the 33rd, Harry S. Truman, to the 44th, Barack Obama. Graham insisted on racial integration for his revivals and crusades, starting in 1953, and invited Martin Luther King Jr. to preach jointly at a revival in New York City in 1957. Evangelist Billy Graham, born in Charlotte, North Carolina, died in February in Montreat, North Carolina. He was 99.
Philip Roth was an American novelist and short story writer. Roth's fiction, regularly set in his birthplace of Newark, New Jersey, is known for its intensity and his autobiographical character, its philosophical and formally blurring the distinction between reality and fiction, for its sensual, ingenious style, and for its provocative explorations of American identity. Roth first gained attention in 1959's novella Goodbye Columbus, for which he received the U.S. National Book Award for Fiction. He became one of the most awarded American writers of his generation, receiving the Pulitzer Prize for his 1997 novel American Pastoral. Novelist Philip Roth died in Manhattan in May. He was 85.
Francisco, I bet you know that music.
I sure do. Baseball fans, it's time to celebrate Rusty Staub. Remember Le Grand Orange? These nicknames were because of his red hair. Bet you don't know that his given name was actually Daniel Joseph. Rusty Staub was a right fielder, designated hitter, and first baseman. He played in Major League Baseball for 23 years with five different teams. Staub was an original member of the Montreal Expos and that team's first star. Although the Expos traded him after only 3 years, his enduring popularity there led them to retire his number in 1993. Rusty Staub, born in New Orleans, died in West Palm Beach, Florida, in March 3rd, 3 days of his 74th birthday. We also celebrate the life of Robert Indiana, an American artist associated with the pop art movement. His Love print, first created for the Museum of Modern Art's Christmas card in 1965, was the basis for the 1970 Love sculpture and widely distributed 1973 United States Postal Service Love stamp. He created works in media, including paper, silkscreen. He also has some work represented at the Allentown Art Museum for art lovers. Sculptor Robert Indiana was born in Newcastle, Indiana, and he died in May in Maine. He was 88.
Harold Everett Greer, known to basketball fans as Hal Greer, was an American professional basketball player. He played in college for Marshall University, then for the Syracuse Nationals and Philadelphia 76ers of the National Basketball Association from 1958 through 73. A guard, Greer was a 10-time NBA All-Star and was named to the All-NBA second team seven times. He was named to the NBA's 50th anniversary all-time team, and he had his uniform number retired by the 76ers. Born in Huntington, West Virginia, Hal Greer died in April in Arizona. He was 81.
We also celebrate the life of Anthony Michael Bourdain, an American celebrity chef, author, travel documentarian, and television personality, who starred in programs focusing on the exploration of international culture, cuisine, and the human condition. He was considered one of the most influential chefs in the world. Bourdain was a 1978 graduate of the Culinary Institute of America and a veteran of a number of professional kitchens in his long career. He first became known for his best-selling book, Kitchen Confidential, Adventures in the Culinary Underbelly, that was published in the year 2000. His first food and world travel show, A Cook's Tour, ran for 35 episodes on the Food Network in 2002 and 2003. In 2005, he began hosting the Travel Channel's culinary and cultural adventure programs, Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations, and The Layover. He was most recently known for his travelogue programming on CNN called Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. The famous chef, born in New York City, died in June in France. The world was shocked because Bourdain committed suicide by hanging.
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three. has a magic number. The past and the present and the future.
Do you recognize where that music's from, Francisco?
I sure do. ABC Morning, Schoolhouse Rock.
And the composer, Bob DeRoe, was an American bebop and cool jazz vocalist, pianist, composer, songwriter, arranger, and producer, a well-known musician right here in our area. I got to meet him. He was not only an accomplished musician, but very humble person also. He was perhaps best known as a composer and performer of songs from Schoolhouse Rock, a series of TV cartoons that appeared on Saturday mornings in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. He worked with Miles Davis and Blossom Dearie, and his adventurous style influenced Mose Allison. Bob DeRoe lived for many years in Mount Bethel in the Slate Belt. He performed and attended concerts at the Deerhead Inn in Delaware Water Gap. Musician Bob DeRoe, born in Cherry Hill, Arkansas, died in April in Mount Bethel. He was 94.
27
Bob told me that he was fascinated by numbers, and
you can tell
it in his songs for Schoolhouse Rock.
Those were classics, indeed. Well, the world did lose someone a little too soon this past year, Kate Spade, an American fashion designer and businesswoman. She was the founder and former co-owner of the designer brand Kate Spade New York. After working in the accessories department at the fashion magazine Mademoiselle, Spade and her husband, Andy Spade, identified a market for quality stylish handbags and founded Kate Spade New York in 1993. The handbags Spade designed and produced quickly found popularity, owing to their sophistication and affordability, and have been described as a symbol of New York City in the 1990s. Fashion designer Kate Spade, born in Kansas City, Missouri, died in June in New York City. She was 55. The world was shocked once again by her death, by hanging. Chuck Knox was an American football coach at the high school, collegiate, and professional levels. He served as head coach of three National Football League teams, the Los Angeles Rams twice, Seattle Seahawks, and Buffalo Bills. He was a three-time AP NFL Coach of the Year. Knox was born in Pittsburgh suburb of Sewickley, Pennsylvania. Whenever Knox felt something was common sense, he would say it was eighth grade Sewickley. The son of a steel worker who had emigrated from Ireland and a Scottish-born mother, football notable Chuck Knox died in May in Palm Springs, Florida. He was 86.
Another sports figure, this time behind the microphone, Al Meltzer, was a fixture in Philly sports, remembered for his engaging on-air presence, enthusiasm, sports knowledge, and easily recognizable voice. At 6'4", he was affectionately known as Big Al. Meltzer started college heading toward dentistry as a career, but he discovered radio TV and started his Philly broadcasting career in 1966 at WPHL 17, where he covered the 76ers and made Big Five college basketball legendary. He worked at several other Philadelphia stations and was the sports director at KYW TV 3 and later NBC 10, where he stayed until 1998. He also worked at Comcast Sportsnet, where he retired in 2003. The Philadelphia Daily News called Meltzer the best sportscaster in Philadelphia in 1979. Throughout his career, Big Al also covered the Eagles, Temple Owls, and Phillies, to name a few. Meltzer made an annual trek to the Lehigh Valley to speak at a Rotarians Club. Sportscaster Al Meltzer, born in Syracuse, died in June, 2 weeks shy of his 90th birthday.
Gerard Marenghi, known as Jerry Marin, was an American actor who played a munchkin, member of the Lollipop Guild in the 1939 MGM classic film, The Wizard of Oz. He became the last surviving Munchkin following the death of Ruth Duccini in 2014, and was also the last surviving cast member with a speaking or singing role. Jerry Marin was born in Boston, the youngest of 11 of 12 children. His four brothers and five sisters were 6 feet or taller. In The Wizard of Oz, Marin played the green, garbed member of the Lollipop Guild, handing a lollipop to Dorothy Gale, played by Judy Garland. Marin was 18 or 19 years old when he shot his scenes for The Wizard of Oz and the latter part of 1938 and early 1939. At that time, he stood just 3 feet 6 inches tall. Hormone treatments later would allow Marin to grow up to a height of 4 feet 6 inches later in life. Actor Jerry Marin died in La Jolla, California in May. He was 98. We also lost Charles Krauthammer, a political pundit. Noted were his brilliance, dry wit, and his skill at deconstructing arguments made by his political opposites. He regularly appeared on Special Report with Bret Baier, a Fox television news program. Very notably, Krauthammer was a speechwriter for Walter Mondale, a Democrat. Despite an accident in his youth that left him paralyzed, he never complained. Neither did he accept or embrace pity. He scooted around in a powered wheelchair and into and out of a van especially configured for him. While he was unable to exercise his limbs, he exercised his mind to the great benefit of all of those who read his syndicated column and watched him on TV. Just before his death in June, Krauthammer wrote a moving article for the Washington Post in which he told readers he had but weeks to live because of cancer of the small intestine. Political pundit and conservative columnist Charles Krauthammer died in New York City. He was 68 years old.
Hey, take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 'Cause it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Well, I hate to tell you, Francisco, but the home team in this case is the St. Louis Cardinals. Red Schoendienst was the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame second baseman, manager, and coach who had a major league career of more than 70 years. The epitome of the baseball lifer, Schoendienst became a revered figure in St. Louis. He was a teammate of the legendary Stan Musial. He first donned a Cardinals uniform at a tryout camp in 1942. A red-haired, freckle-faced teenager from the Midwest who was later likened in the press to a latter-day Huckleberry Finn. At his death in June, Schoendienst was listed as a senior special assistant to the Cardinals' general manager. He died at his home in Town and Country, Missouri, outside St. Louis. Red Schoendienst was 95 and the oldest living member of baseball's Hall of Fame.
Next, we celebrate the life of Charlotte Ray Lobotsky, known professionally as Charlotte Ray, an American character actress, comedian, and singer whose career spanned 6 decades. Only 5 feet tall, Ray was known for her portrayal as Edna Garrett in the sitcoms Different Strokes and its spinoff The Facts of Life, in which she had a starring role from 1979 to 1986. As a graduate of Northwestern University, she starred in the annual WAMU show opposite another famous actor, Paul Lynde. In fact, when she went back to Northwestern many years later when I was a student there doing my undergraduate studies, I got a chance to meet her and see her perform a classic musical number from Threepenny Opera, which she had starred in its original.
Wow, terrific.
Actress Charlotte Ray was born in Milwaukee and she died in August in Los Angeles at the age of 92.
With all my heart.
the singer died 41 years ago. That's one of my favorites by Elvis Presley. Dominic Joseph Fontana, known as DJ, was an American musician, best known as the drummer for Elvis Presley for 15 years. In 1954, he was hired to play drums for Presley, which marked the beginning of a 15-year relationship. He played on over 460 RCA cuts with Elvis. Drummer DJ Fontana, born in Shreveport, Louisiana, died in June in Nashville, Tennessee. He was 87.
Kofi Annan was a Ghanaian diplomat who served as the 7th Secretary General of the United Nations from 1997 to 2006. Annan and the UN were the co-recipients of the 2001 Nobel Peace Prize. He was the founder and chairman of the Kofi Annan Foundation, as well as the chairman of the Elders, an international organization founded by Nelson Mandela. Annan studied economics at Macalester College, international relations from the Graduate Institute Geneva, and management at MIT. Annan joined the UN in 1962. Kofi Annan, born in Ghana, died in August in Switzerland. He was 80.
And Francisco, you have some more folks from the world of theater.
That's right. It is theater time. I wanted to acknowledge the passing of a pair of groundbreaking women of color next. Playwrights Maria Irene Fornes, Cuban-American Maria Irene Fornes, the recipient of 9 Obie Awards and finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, passed away at the age of 88 in October in Manhattan. Similarly, Natsuke Shange, the African-American writer who earned an Obie Award and a Tony Award nomination for her 1976 choreo poem for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough, died on October 7th at the age of 70. In the world of music theater, we lost Joe Mastroff, died September 28th at the age of 98, famous for penning the books for cabaret She Loves Me. We also lost composer Galt McDermott, who was a Grammy-winning composer, gave the world Hair, the Age of Aquarius, Two Gentlemen of Verona, among many others. He died December 17th, a day before his 90th birthday. We also lost Harvey Schmidt, the composer of the long-running classic, The Fantastics. He also wrote the scores for 110 in the Shades and I Do, I Do. He died on February 28th at the age of 88. And famed theater and television producer Craig Zaden, who died this past August at age 69. He is instrumental in the revitalization of live TV musicals, beginning with 2013's The Sound of Music Live and continuing with Peter Pan, The Wiz, Hairspray, and most recently Jesus Christ Superstar Live in Concert, which earned him a posthumous Emmy Award. Notable Broadway actors who passed this year include the actress Barbara Harris, who died at 83. She won a Tony Award for her work in The Apple Tree. Lillian Montevecchi, best known to Broadway audiences for her acclaimed appearances in 2 Maury Yeston-Tommy Tune collaborations, 9 and Grand Hotel. She died at the age of 85. And finally, Sammy J. Williams, who originated the role of Paul in Michael Bennett's A Chorus Line, a role for which he won a Tony Award. He died at the age of 69.
Some of the folks from the theater world. The familiar music again, and this time a surprise. It's a woman. Ruth Richard was an American baseball player who played as a catcher from 1947 through 54 in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Listed at 5'4", 134 pounds, she batted left-handed and threw right-handed. Richard spent 8 seasons in the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. A 6-time All-Star, she also was a member of 4 champion teams. Richard made a transition from outfield to catcher, which enabled her to utilize her strong throwing arm more effectively, and she responded by gunning down more base runners than any other catcher in the league. Ruth Richard was a Pennsylvania gal born in Sellersville. She died in May in Quakertown. She was 89.
We lost John Sidney McCain III, an American statesman and military officer who served as a United States Senator from Arizona from 1987 until his death this past August. McCain previously served two terms in the United States House of Representatives and was the Republican nominee for President of the United States in the 2008 election, which he lost to Barack Obama. McCain graduated from the United States Naval Academy in 1958 and was commissioned into the United States Navy. While on a bombing mission during the Operation Rolling Thunder over Hanoi in October 1967, he was shot down, seriously injured, and captured by the North Vietnamese. He was a prisoner of war for 6 years, experienced episodes of torture, and refused an out-of-sequence early release. Senator John McCain, born in Panama, died in August in Arizona, 4 days short of his 82nd birthday.
They say for every boy and girl there's just one love in this whole world, and I know I found mine.
How well I remember this huge hit by Tab Hunter from 1957. It went to number one on the top 100 chart and stayed there 6 weeks. Tab Hunter was an American actor, pop singer, film producer, and author. Hunter was born in New York City to a Jewish father and Roman Catholic mother who divorced when Tab was a boy. Hunter appeared in over 40 films and was a well-known Hollywood star and heartthrob of the 1950s and 60s, known for his golden blonde Californian surfer boy looks. Tab Hunter, teen idol, died in July. He was 86.
Robin Douglas Leach was an English entertainment reporter and writer from London, beginning his career as a print journalist, first in England and then in the United States. He became best known for hosting the television series Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous from 1984 to 95. The show focused on profiling well-known celebrities and their lavish homes, cars, and other materialistic details. His voice is often parodied by other actors with his signature phrase, "Champagne wishes and caviar dreams." Okay, John, I apologize. That was not very good, but his voice was very distinctive. Trust
yes,
me,
it was.
As many Saturday Night Live auditions can attest, they all seemed to imitate Robin Leach. He was born in London and died in August in Las Vegas, 5 days short of his 77th birthday.
Aretha Louise Franklin was an American singer, songwriter, civil rights activist, actress, and pianist. Franklin began her career as a child singing gospel at New Bethel Baptist Church in Detroit, where her father, C.L. Franklin, was pastor. Franklin found acclaim and commercial success after signing with Atlantic Records in 1966. Hit songs such as Respect, Chain of Fools, Think, A Natural Woman, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You, and I Say a Little Prayer propelled Franklin past her musical peers. By the end of the 1960s, Aretha Franklin had come to be known as the Queen of Soul. Born in Memphis, she died in August in Detroit. She was 76.
Woman.
The world lost Neil Simon, American playwright, screenwriter, and author. He wrote more than 30 plays and nearly the same number of movie screenplays, mostly adaptations of his plays. He received more combined Oscar and Tony nominations than any other writer. Simon wrote comedy scripts for radio and some popular early television shows in the 1950s, like Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows and the Phil Silvers Hour. He began writing his own plays, beginning with Come Blow Your Horn in 1961, which took him 3 years to complete and ran for 678 performances on Broadway. It was followed by two more successful plays, Barefoot in the Park and The Odd Couple, for which he won a Tony Award. It made Simon a national celebrity and the hottest new playwright on Broadway. Overall, he garnered 17 Tony nominations and won 3. During one season, he had 4 successful plays running on Broadway at the same time, and in 1983 became the only living playwright to have a New York theater, the Neil Simon Theater, named in his honor. Giant playwright Neil Simon, born in the Bronx, died in August in Manhattan at the age of 91.
She may be the face I can't forget, a dress of pleasure or regret, maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay.
Beloved French chanson entertainer Charles Aznavour wrote more than 800 songs, recorded more than 1,000 of them in French, English, German, and Spanish, and sold over 100 million records in all. Aznavour was born in 1924 in Paris, the younger of 2 children born to Armenian immigrants who fled to France. Aznavour earned a sturdy reputation composing street-style songs for other established musicians and singers, notably Edith Piaf. Heavily encouraged by her, he toured with Piaf as both an opening act and lighting man. Dubbed the Frank Sinatra of France and singing in many languages, his touring would include sold-out performances at Carnegie Hall and London's Albert Hall in the 1960s. Charles Aznavour died in October in France. He was 94.
No one's allowed to see them when they cry.
Burt Reynolds was an American actor, director, and producer. He first rose to prominence starring in television series such as Gunsmoke from 1962 to 65, Hawk in 1966, and Dan August 1970 to 71. His breakout film role was as Lewis Medlock in Deliverance. That was in 1972. Reynolds played the leading role in a number of subsequent box office hits, such as The Longest Yard, Smokey and the Bandit, Semi-Tough, The Cannonball Run, and The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Said Reynolds, "My movies are kind of prisons on airplanes. Nobody can leave." During his prime, he was one of the most handsome men on the planet. Actor Burt Reynolds, born in Lansing, Michigan, died in September in Jupiter, Florida. He was 82.
George Walker was an American composer, pianist, and organist, the first African American to win the Pulitzer Prize for Music. He received the Pulitzer for his work Lilacs in 1996. Walker was the father of 2 sons, violinist and composer Gregory T.S. Walker and playwright Ian Walker. Walker's music has been influenced by a wide variety of musical styles because of his exposure to the music of Chopin, Brahms, Beethoven, jazz, folk songs, and church hymns. Musician George Walker, born in Washington, D.C., died in August in Montclair, New Jersey. He was 96. Richard Marvin DeVos, Sr., known as Rich DeVos, is a name you may not recognize, but you'll know what this billionaire businessman co-founded, Amway, with J. Van Andel. The company restructured as AltaCor in 2000. If you know the name DeVos, it's probably for Rich's daughter-in-law, Betsy DeVos, Secretary of Education under President Trump. Rich DeVos was owner of the Orlando Magic basketball team. In 2012, Forbes magazine listed him as the 60th wealthiest person in the United States and the 205th richest in the world with an estimated net worth of $5 billion. Businessman Rich DeVos, born in Grand Rapids, Michigan, died in September in nearby Ada County, Michigan. He was 92.
Maria de Montserrat Viviana Concepcion Caballé y Folk, known to opera lovers as Montserrat Caballé, was a Spanish operatic soprano. She sang a wide variety of roles, but is best known as an exponent of the works of Verdi and of the bel canto repertoire, notably the works of Rossini, Bellini, and Donizetti. Her voice was described as pure but powerful, with superb control of vocal shadings and exquisite pianissimo. Operatic soprano Montserrat Caballé, born in Barcelona, died in her hometown in October. She was 85.
Paul Gardner Allen was an American business magnate, investor, and philanthropist. Alongside Bill Gates, Allen co-founded Microsoft in 1975, which helped spark the microcomputer revolution and later became the world's largest PC software company. He was estimated to be the 44th wealthiest person in the world, with an estimated net worth of $20 billion. He received numerous awards and honors in several different professions, was listed in among Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world. Paul Allen, born in Seattle, died in October in his hometown. He was 65.
James Joseph Bulger Jr., known as Whitey Bulger, was an American organized crime boss, gangster, and FBI informant who led the Winter Hill Gang in Boston. Federal prosecutors indicted Bulger for 19 murders. He was the brother of William Bulger, former president of the Massachusetts Senate. According to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Bulger served as a confidential informant for the FBI beginning in 1975, a claim Bulger denied. Bulger fled Boston in 1994 and went into hiding. For 16 years, he remained at large. For 12 of those years, Bulger was second on the FBI 10 Most Wanted Fugitives list behind Osama bin Laden. Bulger was arrested outside an apartment in Santa Monica, California in 2011. Bulger was 81 years old at the time. In October, a day before being transferred to the federal penitentiary in West Virginia, Bulger was murdered by inmates there. He was 89 years old.
Hey, take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root.
Willie Lee McCovey, nicknamed Mac, Big Mac, and Stretch, was a professional baseball first baseman. He played for the San Francisco Giants for 19 seasons, and three more for the San Diego Padres and Oakland Athletics between 1959 and 1980. He batted and threw left-handed and was inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame in 1986. One of the most intimidating power hitters of his era, McCovey was called the scariest hitter in baseball by pitcher Bob Gibson, an assessment with which Reggie Jackson concurred. McCovey's powerful swing generated 521 home runs, 231 of which he hit in Candlestick Park, the most hit by any player there. Willie McCovey, born in Mobile, died in October at the Stanford University Hospital at the age of 80. We also celebrate the life of Stan Lee, legendary writer, editor, and publisher of Marvel Comics, whose fantabulous but flawed creations made him a real-life superhero to comic book lovers everywhere. Lee began the business in 1939 and created or co-created Black Panther, Spider-Man, the X-Men, the Mighty Thor, Iron Man, the Fantastic Four, the Incredible Hulk, Daredevil, and Ant-Man, among countless other characters. Stan Lee, born in Manhattan, died in Los Angeles in November. He was 95.
Welcome to Hee Haw, starring Buck Owens and Roy Clark.
Roy Clark was an American singer and musician, best known for having hosted Hee Haw, a nationally televised country variety show from 1969 to 1997. That's 28 years, a lifetime for TV longevity. Clark was an important and influential figure in country music, both as a performer and in helping to popularize the genre. During the 1970s, he frequently guest-hosted for Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. Clark was highly regarded and renowned as a guitarist, banjo player, and fiddler. He became a member of the Grand Ole Opry and in 2009 was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Roy Clark, born in Meharon, Virginia, died in November in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was 85.
The world also lost Penny Marshall, American actress, director, and producer. She came to notice in the 1970s for her role as Laverne DeFazio on the television sitcom Laverne and Shirley, first having appeared as that same character on Happy Days. She received 3 nominations for a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress, Television Series, Musical, or Comedy for that portrayal. Marshall progressed to directing films in the 1980s. We lost Penny Marshall just last week from diabetes complications. She was born in the Bronx. She died in Los Angeles. She was 75, and John, she was a classic.
She was a classic for sure. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of our hour here on Lehigh Valley Discourse for the end of the year. Francisco and I wish you all a very happy new year. And Francisco, thank you for coming again all the way from San Francisco for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
It's my pleasure always to be here, and we look forward to doing it next year.
Amen.
Thanks for the memory of Schubert's Serenade, Little Things of Jade, and traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was. We who could laugh over big things were parted by only a slight thing.
Delivering another positive trading day, Frank Martin of Market Capital Management says it's all symptomatic of investors left jittery by Federal Reserve decisions, trade and government policies, and domestic and international uncertainties.
What is important to the market is investor sentiment, which is extremely volatile.
President Trump and